John chapter 1, I hear people sometimes there, it's kind of humorous to me because old as I am, it's hard to impress me. I mean, I used to be easily impressed, but the older you get, the less things impress, you know. But these guys coming around, you know, well, I have a Master of Divinity degree. I said, whoop-de-doo. I got one of them told me one day, he said, I'm studying for my PhD. I said, I have two.
Yeah.
He said, you do? I said, yeah, they're hanging on the back of my storage building. Ah, I ain't never heard that. I said, where you been? But we do have the Master of Divinity within us.
Yes.
So we all have a Master of Divinity degree. Amen. It just depends on how much you nurture that. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And so tonight, that's what I want to talk to you about. The divine presence in us. The divine presence in us. Look at John chapter 1. And you know what, I quote it all the time. But start with verse 9, if you will. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's a powerful statement right there. Amen. Very powerful. If you look for it, if you've been saved, now if you haven't been saved, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about tonight. Matter of fact, you might even think it's a little bit cultic to talk about God and divinity being inside of us. A child of God has divine life in them. The life that God, divine meaning the power and the presence of a holy God. The same power that breathed into Adam life that day, that power lives in us. That same power that went back into that dead body of Jesus Christ and regenerated it and rose it from the dead, that power lives in us because we received Him. It's not that we worked for it or we studied for it or we deserved it. It's that we asked for it. We ask for it. As many as received Him, He's that light from heaven. He's that spark of divinity that we've seen. No man's seen God and lived. No man can see God and live. But we can see Jesus Christ, the light of God. We can get a little bit of revelation of God through Him, His life, His death, His burial, resurrection, His work, His miracles, His teachings. And that's the light of God. That's divine, see. Only God does that. The God that created the universe, that's what we received that day that we received Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, by Him all things were created, and by Him all things consist. He's the creator. He is the sustainer. He holds it all together. And that same spark of divine or power that day that we received Jesus Christ came into us. That power regenerated us. It says, you that were dead in trespasses and sin, hath He quickened. That's an old English word. You're biting to the quick. You know what it means. You went past the dead part to the live part. It said, hath He quickened in Christ. Now, He made us alive in Christ. We were dead spiritually. And that divine portion, however, through His Holy Spirit came in that day. And it resurrected that dead spirit. And because the power of the Creator came into the creation that was dead in trespasses and sin and regenerated it. You know what regeneration is? If you get a cut and you're a healthy person, now if you're not healthy, this won't help you very much. But if you're a healthy person, you get cut, your body will go toward that cut and begin to work on it and regenerate it. And a year later, you won't even know you were ever cut. There won't even be a sign of it, probably. So it's the same way spiritually. God, the Creator, came into your mortal spiritual wound and healed it and regenerated that spirit. So now you have God in you, the hope of glory. He lives in you, Brother Rick. Now, when people see you, they see a little bit of God, or they ought to. They experience a little bit of God, or they ought to. It used to be in our time, our older time, us old people, you know, us old people, them old people, you know, they talk about them old people. My mom used to talk about those old people down there at her church. She said, them old people is messing up our church. I said, Mama, you're 99 years old. You are the old people. we know that when we were regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, things changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So we knew growing up that there were people who had been changed. Y'all remember that? All of a sudden they once were lost, now they're found, they were heathens, now they're saints, and they don't do what they used to do, and they don't say what they used to say, and they don't look like they used to look. Come on, help me here. And you'd say, what happened to you? They say, I'm living for the Lord. That's what they'd say. Or they'd say, I'm trying to live right. That's what they would say. But God put that in their heart. See, they never wanted to do that before. God had to put that in their heart. Amen? Because if he didn't, this is what they would have said. My wife won't let me do that anymore. Y'all think that's funny, but that's exactly what they used to say. My wife killed me if I did that. Yeah. My mom and dad killed me if I did that. They wasn't living for God. They were living for mom and daddy or the wife or husband. But once you receive that divine spark into that old dead soul, it brings it to life. And everything changes. Everything. The presence of God moves in. And that pushes out, or it should push out, purge. Got those Bible words. Got a Bible scholar over here. It'll push out those bad things, see. Because light and dark can't exist in the same place. Now, if you're sleeping under my preaching, you're heavily medicated. So slap yourself or get some water or something, okay? Let me tell you something. People don't think of Christianity like that anymore. What happened? Did God stop imparting his divine nature into people? Or did the people, the church, stop accepting his divine nature?
Yeah,
yeah, it ain't God. The problem's not with God. Born again Christians are divine. We have divinity in us. I'm going to live long as God lives. I'm never going to die. Now, you might read in the paper one day, you know, Clarence Ronald Rodding. Go ahead and laugh. I know you saw that down at Walmart. It said Clarence sale. I know. It's going to say he died. And I want you to say, that's a lie. That man ain't dead. He was born again. March the 5th, 1978. His name was written down in glory. He'll never die as long as God lives. That man's going to live because he received the divine nature of Jesus Christ in him. And Jesus Christ cannot die.
Amen.
Y'all got me? Is that too complicated? I mean, even a Master of Divinity student should be able to understand that. But they don't. I don't know why. But I want to show you a couple of those character traits. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Now, once you receive that divine nature, you receive some things that make you start looking and sounding like God. Now, wait a minute, preacher. We're not God. I didn't say you were God, but some of the traits of God, since God lives in you, are going to come out. Amen? Look at Hebrews 4:15, if you will. Now, he says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Now, Jesus Christ, would you agree with me? He had divine sympathy. God in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, sympathized with sinners. It says we don't have one of those high priests, all he is religious, but our high priest could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's how I don't understand how somebody can worship a statue. It feels nothing. A picture, it feels nothing. And these cult leaders that have no sympathy for the people that follow them, that's not divine, that's devilish, see. When I got saved, when you received Christ, you received that divine sympathy. Now, because you know He's sympathetic, that ought to come through you, Brother Dan, and we ought to be sympathetic. Now, people accuse us fundamentalist, Bible-believing Baptists of hating sinners and all this. You'll never find a more sympathetic crowd than this crowd right here. Because we know, except by the grace of God, there go I. And He had sympathy on us, so we ought to have sympathy on others. You don't win people by beating them up. You win them by lifting them up. Now, I'm not saying don't be against sin. I'm not saying don't name sin, but I'm saying have sympathy for the sinner.
Amen.
He or she are trapped. They're slaves. They can't help themselves, just as you and I.
Amen.
And Paul said that, and such were some of you. So when I got saved and the divinity of God, the divine presence of God moved in there, the first thing that I remember was being sympathetic to lost people. That's the first thing I remember. Now it changed a whole lot about me, but it did not make me hard and calloused against sinners. It did not. Help me, come on. We're supposed to love sinners. We don't love what they do. We didn't love what we did. But we loved the sinner. Before I got saved, I'd tell you where to go. But since I got saved, I don't want you to go. I want you to go to heaven. Now, you treat me as bad as you want to. I still don't want you to go to hell. Because, see, I know you're blind and you're deaf and you're dumb and you don't understand what's going on until you receive that light and then He opens your eyes and you can see it too, see. But you ought to have that. If you don't have sympathy for people, if I were you, I'd get on my knees and say, God, I've lost something here. Or maybe you never got it in the first place. We don't have religion. We don't have religion. We've got the presence of God in us. You don't need religion when you've got that. And then I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm talking about the divinity that God put in you when you're saved. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you can have this. It's free. Won't cost you anything. You don't have to quit anything. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to give money, in spite of what that TV preacher you keep sending money to so he can buy him a $50 million jet says. You don't have to do anything. All you've got to do is receive it. As many as received Him. That's all you got to do. Just say, here I am, Lord. Don't know how, don't know what it means, but that's what I want right there and receive. Amen? Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 8, I think it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, boy, that's a lot there. All, every, amen. Hey, that's a wonderful story because, see, that divine grace now, I couldn't think of another word, and I'm not one of those guys that can do acrostics and all that stuff. I'm not that smart. But I thought about this word. That's divine enabling. He enables us. Look at the verse again. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things. He's going to give you what you need. May abound to every good work. So when the divine nature of God comes into me, He gives me everything I need to turn out right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, He does. And if I don't turn out right, then it's my fault, not His.
Amen.
Because He's given me all the sufficiency. He's given me everything I need. Matter of fact, He's aboundfully given me that. He's given me more than I need to turn out to do good. Isn't that what that word said? Good? That's the opposite of bad. God can't do bad. God only does good. So that's a divine nature. Man is not naturally good. He's not. Our nature is corrupt. We lie, cheat, steal, everything else in our natural heart, our natural mind. But when the divine nature comes in, it drives all that out, and then God enables me to do good. I always tell people, if you get anything good out of me, you blame it on the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Because without Him, there ain't nothing good in me. I just go ahead and tell you that right now. Amen. Sometimes people tell me, they say, well, you wouldn't want me to come to your church. You don't know. Those people wouldn't want me sitting with them. They don't know where I've been or what I've done. I say, well, if I told you where they've been and what they've done, you probably wouldn't want to sit with them.
Amen.
It's the divine nature that makes us good. It's not us that makes us good. God bless you if you got a good mama, you got a good daddy, you got a good family. That's a wonderful thing. But that's not what made you good. God did that. When you received Him as your Savior, He moved in you, and He's the one that gave you a new nature, see. That old nature is corrupted by Adam himself. And look, the old devil will stoke that fire as much as he can. He'll give you all you can do to be bad. And by the way, boys, it's easy to be bad. It's hard to be good, except by the grace of God. And He enables you, see. So He gives us enabling a divinity, like God is able to do good. God's able to do everything right, perfect, holy, pure. Well, God lives in here now, so now He gives us the ability to be holy and pure and to do good. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, some of y'all sleeping on me. I'm gonna wake. I'm make Baptists out of you if it kills you, okay? Amen. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Look at Matthew 18:20. Boy, I like this. This is not what I had planned to preach tonight. You can ask my wife that on the last minute I got in the house studying and got on this. Matthew 18:20. Of course, if you still want to hear that other one, hang around after this one. Matthew 18:20. Ron said he was going to shout preach another one at the end anyway. Matthew, you'll know you're really good when you don't shout, sing another one, but preach another one. Amen. Matthew 18:20, if you have that. Preached up a storm. Amen. That's a good sign. Amen. Amen. He's going to herd them in here. He's going to herd them in here. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, I got to think about that. That's divine fellowship. I have divine fellowship. Now, I've had fellowship with some creatures, buddy. You know, Ernest T. Bass told Barney, he said, that woman called me a creature. I've known some creatures, amen? You have too. You used to be one of them. But I've had fellowship with some creatures that were not divine. You did too. Don't sit there and act like you did. Matter of fact, all of those people that we thought was so cool when we were kids, after we got older and they got older, we looked back on it, we realized they were all crazy. They wasn't cool. They didn't have no sense. They were crazy, and we thought it was cool. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all might have been some of them. I don't know. Looking at you, you might still be. I don't know. But now I have divine fellowship. Did you know wherever two or three are gathered together that He'll be there and He'll be in the midst? I've seen a lot of young men try to start churches and ministries and stuff. And if they don't start off with 100, Brother Ron, they think it just ain't no good. Let's quit and go somewhere else and try it. But he said wherever there's two or three. Brother, I've had church preaching at the Shane Gang. I wasn't a member. I was visiting, okay? I've had church preaching at the Shane Gang to one or two people and have some of the best fellowship with God I'd ever had in my life. I've been to the nursing home where I wasn't sure there was one or two of them that was even coherent while I was preaching and had some of the best services I ever had in my life. These lazy Baptist preachers. Oh, I shouldn't have said. There I go. I was doing so good, too. Sometimes they'll tell me, they'll say, we don't have Sunday night services. Nobody will come. I said, I'd get up next Sunday and say, me and my wife's going to be there Sunday night. If you want to come, you're welcome to come. If you don't come, we're going to have church anyway. Amen. I really think they just didn't want to have church themselves. Amen. Hey, because we have a divine fellowship with the Father every time we meet. So this ain't a business meeting here. This is church. Amen. This is not the entertainment network. Amen. This is church. And He's promised if we'll meet in His name, He'll meet with us. And it may be a crowd of 100 or 50 or 20, but if we got two or three that's looking for Him, He'll show up. I think the problem is most people don't expect Him to show up, so He gives them exactly what they're looking for. Amen? Amen. But we have divine fellowship. Brother Ron, me and you, that's two, right? I went to school in Lancaster, and in South Carolina, some of these Yankees think South Carolina was dumb, but I think that's two. Me and you could sit down, open the Bible, invite the Lord, and He'd show up at our fellowship. Yes, sir. Now, it doesn't matter if it's big church. I've been in church with 10,000 people, the Lord show up. I've been in church with 10 people, and the Lord show up. Yes. I've been to camp meeting where they were doing a lot of things. I didn't know if the Lord was in it or not. I just get out of the way, but He showed up. Amen. I just said, well, bless Him, Lord. I ain't doing it. Don't let Him get hurt. Amen. You see them. You see them. You see them. You're from West Virginia. You see them. I know you deny that, but it's the truth. But listen, the fellowship, I've got divine fellowship. God talks with me. God walks with me. God fellowships with me. Some of y'all just don't know what a big deal that is for some of us that God would even fellowship with us. You don't know where we come from. You don't know what we've seen. You don't know what we've done. And that the God of glory would show up just for us. That's divine fellowship. Now, I've had a lot of friends over the years. I've been a lot of places, done a lot of things. But I've never found better fellowship than divine fellowship. It satisfies you. I've been to visit people before and sit there and listen to whining, talking for hours on end and leave so discouraged and just tired. It just makes you tired. And then you go down to church and somebody shows up and somebody preaches and somebody sings a hymn and somebody testifies. You leave out there going, glory to God, it was good at church today. That's divine fellowship. Now, if our fellowship is only one with another, it certainly is not divine. Without Christ, then it's not divine. It's human fellowship. Now, human fellowship usually leads to the wrong things because there's greed involved, there's lust, there's envy. All these things are involved in human fellowship, but in divine fellowship, everything's perfect. Now, you can always tell if a church is involved in divine fellowship by how they get along with each other. If there's bickering and backbiting and just a bad spirit about the thing, he's not going to show up to that, see. He's not going to be a part of that. And I thank God this place ain't like that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it takes work to keep it that way, Rick. It takes some work to keep it that way, but God shows up because of that. Every service we've ever had hadn't always been divine. Every meeting we've ever had hadn't always been divine. Everyone that come here hadn't always wanted to have divinity. Amen? Some of them wanted to claim divinity, but they didn't have it. But anyway, that's the kind of fellowship I want. That's the kind I want. I want it where God shows up. Now, I'm not a great preacher. I'm not even the best speaker in town. I know that. And I know you Northerners, it's hard for you to listen to me sometimes because these words I use, and you're having to write a book and get a dictionary and stuff like that. And I know it's hard sometimes to listen to all this stuff, but I'd rather find some old hillbilly mountain preacher that loved Jesus, get up and scream and holler and mispronounce his words if the divine nature showed up in the place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, all right. One more. You don't believe that, do you? One more. You don't?
Yeah, preach one more.
Amen. One more. I meant one more sermon. I didn't mean one more point. Turn to Romans 4:21, if you will. Romans 4:21, if you will. Now, I'm talking about the divinity that lives in us as believers. Amen, Lord. You hear the Lord. He's saying amen. If lights go out, we're just going to preach on. We've got the divine light. Amen. Romans 4:21, if you will. It says, and being fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he was able also to perform. Now, that's divine power. That's divine power. Because no one else in the universe can fully say that they are always, 100% of the time, fully able to perform the thing that they said they'll do. I'm not. You're not. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
No, that's right.
I mean, you might be riding up the road and you made all kind of promises you cannot keep because it might be your last day.
Right.
Or you may make promises you have all intentions of keeping, but circumstances don't allow them. Well, he's the one that controls life and he's the one that controls the circumstances. So he's fully able, divinely speaking, to perform every promise he's ever made. Somebody said, well, what if you die and go to hell? I said, well, then God lied.
That ain't happening.
He can't lie. Ties 1-2 to God that can't lie. They'll say, well, what if you starve to death? I say, then he lied. I can't starve to death. Amen? His divine power is able to keep every promise that he ever made. He'll not lose one sinner that he promised he'd take to heaven. Not one. There won't be one person. Now, I know our Free Will Baptist brethren and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Lutherans and all those other loose ones, a lot of them think they can lose their salvation. But I've got news for you. You didn't earn it to start with. How are you going to keep it? He keeps you, see.
Yes.
Jude says, and there's only one chapter, verse 24 and 25, says, now in him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's his job.
Yes.
That's his job. When I got saved, I put it all on him.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I put it all on him because I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep it. I mean, at my best, with the divine power and that divine spark and spirit in me, I still fail.
Right.
Because I'm in this flesh. But I knew he'd never fail. He's never lost not one sinner, never, not one sinner. And somebody would say, what about Judas? Go back and read it. Judas was a son of perdition. He wasn't a son of God. Go back and read it. He never was a son of God. He never was a believer. He was a follower, but he wasn't a believer. There's a lot of people who are followers who have never been converted. They're not believers.
Come on now. Yeah.
He's never lost one. Nobody in the pits of hell or in the lake of fire will be able to stand up and say, God, let me down.
Right.
Amen, Lord. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me say. Because he's got the divine power. He created it. He sustains it. He keeps it. He supplies it. He works it. Every bit of that is, hey, that's all him. How many of y'all remember when we were young, they used to try to do all kind of things with the weather? Y'all remember that? They'd seed the clouds to try to get rain. That's dumb as a box of rocks. Seed the clouds. What do you seed it with? Rain? I mean, the only thing that's going to give you rain is rain. So what do you seed a cloud with? What's the seed for rain? Rain. So if you're going to put rain in the cloud, then you don't need the cloud. That's deep, ain't it? That's divine, ain't it, brother? That's divine right there. It takes divinity to understand that, don't it? Somebody said the other day, one of these weirdo Christians, they got them all over the place now. They're having meetings and denominational votes and denominational statements, and now they're saying that we're going to use up the water. I want to look at that egghead, and I want to say this. I'm drinking the same water that Adam drank. It's fixing to come down again. There's no new water.
That's right.
And you can't use it up. It all goes back into the earth and back to the clouds and back into earth and back to the clouds. Hey, you took a bath today in the clothes, in the water that Noah rode on. But only somebody with divinity in them would ever even be able to declare such a thing as that. Because, see, we know God's got the power to do that. Since they don't believe in God, they don't believe in divine power. But now, we've got a little bit of that in us. He said, whatever you ask on earth be done in heaven. He said, if you'd ask it, you'd receive it. He said, if you'll tell that mountain over there, you got just a little tiny, tiny bit of faith, tell that mountain be removed into the sea, it would. What he's saying is, there's God living in you now that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and now you have the power of God living in you. Nothing's more powerful than he. The U.S. government, for some reason, especially the liberals, think that they are the ultimate power on planet Earth. It wouldn't be the first time that God laughed at a nation and just get it wiped away overnight. Because God's got the power to do that. These denominational powers that rose up over the years and over the years and rose up and got rich and powerful, and now they're all decaying and they're all trying to figure out a way to get new members and way to get more money and those things, because God's taken his hand off of them because they've left him. And by leaving him, they've left the power of God. And the power of God is what created them and sustained them and published them and promoted them so that sinners could be saved by the power that they had in them. So when they left that power, he left them. I'm just happy to say that divinity lives in every believer. You say, well, you don't know how sorry a believer I am. Yeah, but you don't know how powerful that divinity is. And by the way, we wasn't perfect overnight. We're all still going up this road. Nobody's coming back down it. We're all going up the road. We're all maturing and growing and changing. If you're not, that just means you stopped on the road. You can't get off of it. You're on that narrow way that leads to life eternal. You can't get off. You just stopped. You need to get moving again back up that road. And that's where the maturity comes from. And you say, well, I just don't feel like I'm divine. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Amen. And the faith produces the divinity. And then the faith empowers the divinity that we have in us. You say, are you writing this down? I'm going to forget what I said after a while. Listen, it's on tape. But think of this, Brother Ron. God in you regenerated you from death spiritually. Is going to regenerate you from death physically. He now lives in you to empower you to live a life you never could live. And to believe things you could never believe. And to do things you never could have done without that power living in you. Well, that's good.
Well, preacher, I'm a Christian. I just don't feel like... why don't you plug into the light with the rest of us? Amen?
There's nothing worse than a poor-mouthed Christian. Amen. I didn't tell you you're going to be rich and famous. A lot of you are infamous and poor. But I'll tell you this. We don't need to poor mouth God if his power lives in us. We need to trust him. Well, I don't know if I can raise these young'uns right. That's children, brother. Children, young'uns. Okay, children. Now, let God. Hey, let God help you. Let God help you. Amen. I trust and obey. Okay, let's get our hymn book. Come on, let's get our hymn book and turn.